Welcome to an Englishman in the Balkans podcast. I'm David.
I'm Tamara.
And this podcast is where we bring you stories of life, culture, and adventure in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
From the unique perspective of exploring this beautiful corner of the world.
Whether you're here for travel tips, cultural insights, or simply to share in the stories of everyday life, we're glad you've joined us. Let's dive in. Hello, I'm David. And today I'm sharing something a little different, a reflective episode recorded nearly 10 years ago. This podcast has been around for quite some time, and over the years I've had the privilege of working on some truly meaningful projects, including media training in the South Caucasus, which you'll hear about in this episode.
I'm not in the Balkans today. In fact, I'm in Tbilisi, where the weather has been, it went from being really great and sunny and warm for the first 4 days I was here, and today we've had a tremendous downpour. But I've been in Tbilisi. If you follow the vlog and maybe one or two of the previous podcasts from last year, you'll be aware that I do get involved with training NGOs and activists in how to use online broadcasting to support their projects. And this visit back to Tbilisi has been no different for me. We've had 2.5 days with, I think, a total of 12, maybe 13 participants who've come all the way from Baku in Azerbaijan. A grueling 12-hour train journey, pretty uncomfortable, I'm led to believe, then jumping off the train and coming straight to the training center and cracking on with a very intense 8 to 9 hour day training. That aside, if I judge all the Facebook comments that have come in, they really had a good time. They've gone back to Baku now, again, with another 12-hour grueling train journey. But for this last 2 days, I've been in the company of five broadcasters. They've got a bit of experience with using online broadcasting already. And we're doing a Train the Trainer session. I've caught up with three of them, Zamira, Vahid, and Tengo. And I wanted to find out more about why this project was actually set up in the first place by the grand fromage, the big cheese, the person in charge of it all on the ground. It's Zamira. She's living at the moment here in Tbilisi, but she's originally from Baku. And I wanted to find out more about why she felt that online broadcasting was important. My first problem, though, was that we were in the kitchen of the training center, and it was so awfully echoey. But I think you'll forgive me, right?
This is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
My interest in being engaged in this project was I started kind of feeling more frustrated with the media every day, because as a peace builder, you see how many media organizations are involved in state propaganda, which is kind of continues to escalate the conflict even further. And I wanted to know if there are any alternative resources to de-escalate and make sure that without being dependent from the state media organizations, as well as without being involved in or dragged into the state propaganda, how we can use digital sources for using our activism through these digital media. And the Source Fabric managed this project. And I thought this is an amazing opportunity for youth to learn how to better use digital media and integrate it into their activism work and address these issues on their own without dependent from the traditional media sources. So this is how I kind of got engaged into the project.
You mentioned digital there. How active is the digital space? Do young Azerbaijanis walk around like young people in the Western world, glued to the screen of their smartphone? In fact, are they the sort of people that walk around bumping into others because they're chasing Pokemon, or they're worried about the latest Facebook update or the latest Instagram photograph? What's the digital landscape really like back in Azerbaijan?
Well, it's not really different from the Western world. It's the same social media, some games mostly. They're really engaged in different kinds of games, just like you mentioned Pokemon. So basically the same. They use phone for talking. They use phone for recording their songs. And in the streets, for example, you can see young musicians playing their instrument as well as recording and, you know, taking videos and vlogging or blogging or, I don't know, for different kinds of purposes. They are quite active.
It seems that Azerbaijan is a country where the current government, for example, likes to keep a tight control on the media. You know, the more control they've got, the more comfortable they feel. Normally, the internet is a bit of a wild west for most governments. They find it very difficult to control it. Do you think that this freedom that the web and digital gives is the thing that you've been looking for, hoping for, wishing for as an activist in the past?
Actually, in Azerbaijan, unlike many other, I would say, with a very strict kind of controlling governments, unlike them, we have a bit more freedom in terms of using internet for advocacy works. The problem is, I think the state understands that 80%, 85% of the population is scattered around the Azerbaijan, and many of them are living in mountainous areas where they don't have internet sources. So they understand that this activism work, which is done by using the online media, internet space, is not going to reach as many population as those activists would wish. So that's why I think this is one of the reasons why we are not strictly controlled yet. Maybe one day when we reach those regional rural areas, probably then government will understand that a kind of more control is needed in the internet space than it is at the moment.
I think with the training that we've undertaken this time and on a previous visit here to Tbilisi, there may be somewhere in the region about 12 potential stations that could start broadcasting content on the internet. Now, that is a very small number to start with. Do you see that growing?
I definitely see it growing. And in future, I'm more than sure that they will keep asking for new radio stations, and they will be more youth interested in kind of volunteering for the radio stations. And then eventually they will definitely want to step up with their own radio stations. And this happened during our first training. Some participants came to participate or work for one radio, but then once they got motivated, they decided to open themselves a new radio and run it separately than from the rest of the group. So I think it might definitely grow. There is a high potential for growing. But at the same time, one problem is, again, like how to supply those rural areas with internet so that they start listening to these radios. We might air it anywhere we go, but then are these people going to be able to listen it through the internet while they don't have these kinds of resources, extra money to buy internet package for their phone or to have it wire? So this is kind of a challenge for us at the moment.
The internet gives you the ability for the first time, actually, as a broadcaster, as a small broadcaster, micro broadcaster, if you like, to reach such a massive audience. Going on the internet means that you're no longer confined to Azerbaijan. You can broadcast to the whole world. Do you think this project, these projects, these online radio projects, might be able to stimulate support, especially financial support, to maintain sustainability from people from Azerbaijan who now live outside the country, in other words, the diaspora?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I strongly believe that once we start consistently produce content, we will be able to reach those people, those activists, or anyone who is considered to be the diaspora, Azerbaijani diaspora, out in the world. We will definitely be reaching them, but right now we have started kind of easy. Once we have full content, probably we will be reaching out to those targets eventually. About financial support, This is a bit of a hard question because with the current legislation, individuals being able to take grants from international organizations or international groups, it is kind of a bit of a challenge at the moment, which kind of challenges the sustainability factor for this radio project. But, you know, it leaves us only hope for the best in the future. And maybe the legislation will change. Maybe the government strategy will change. And these participants would be able to kind of fundraise for their projects.
We're going to go back and do some more training now. But finally, I want to put you on the spot. Everybody's entitled to dream a dream. What is your dream as far as this project is concerned?
My dream is to launch, I would say, as many radios as possible, to be honest, because even if the radio is not going to succeed, those guys who are participating at the trainings, they are learning a new skill. They're getting motivated. They are kind of becoming more aware of the power of the internet, power of the digital media. And even if not radio, they will definitely be hooked up to other projects to kind of do the same kind of an activism work, even more actively use the digital media sources for their activism work. So my purpose is to reach as many youths as possible so that they take these skills, whatever we give to them, and then implement it in any area they have in their back in their countries and in their small communities.
An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Bailey, and this episode coming from Tbilisi. So what we've heard is Zamira's ideas, her thoughts, and what she wants to achieve. Now I'm going to speak to two people who are actually running the projects. The first one is Vahid. He's into gender equality. And I wanted to find out more about what he is up to.
The project is about the urbanization and the other topics related to urbanization. And it gathers to itself gender issues, ecological, environmental issues, civilizing and women, and also LGBTQ communities members, anonymity in the urban areas. In general, the aim of the project is to make people to think twice about what they do when they are trying to civilize in urban areas and how to become very anonymous in the urban areas.
All those topics you just mentioned are things that groups and society in the Western world are fighting day on day to achieve. You're in Azerbaijan, which is quite a way away from Europe. You go to Europe a lot. What are the similarities and what are the things that don't jive between Azerbaijan and Western Europe?
I will start with the differences between Azerbaijan and Western world. So the thing is, the Western people are very individual, but people in Azerbaijan love to live in communal system. And the first difference is that. And also, because of they are loving to live together with their families, with their friends or whatever, it makes life a bit hard because you're not paying attention to yourself, to your life, and what you are and what you want to be. You're paying attention what others may think about you, what others say about you, and you're taking care of your family, your friends, or your mother, your father, or whatever. But in Western world, you know how it works. They are pretty much individuals. They think about themselves. They think about, okay, themselves and maybe their partners, and that's all their children. And also the similarity is Western world have had this period of their society's life like 60 or 50 years ago. And what we are trying now with our team in Azerbaijan to make this period to go faster, not that long. Azerbaijan got its independence 25 years ago, but still we don't have these values that can be applied to individuals. We still live in this kind of communistic area where we live together and we try to live to each other, not for ourselves. And that's the big problem for young people in Azerbaijan, because they live with their family, they have a lot of independence from their family. They getting money from them, they getting accommodation from them. So that's really hard because you cannot live your life by yourself. And that's the problem. So that, and we are trying to solve this problem within our projects, not only projects. So, I mean, we are trying to solve, not correctly to solve this problem. We are trying to give a chance to the people, to young people, to think about that you are individual and you are living for yourself. You are trying to be who you want to be.
The government of Azerbaijan really do enjoy having as much control as they can possibly exert on the media. I was mentioning to Zamira just now that the internet could be viewed as a little bit of a wild west. You know, there's no sheriff in town at the moment. Do you think that's something that you can really capitalize on at the moment, this lack of control by the government, so that you can make your projects even more successful?
Yeah, for now, it's not. The internet is not controlled by the government. And the only thing that activists in Azerbaijan can do, they are trying to influence the government or influence some laws or whatever, using the Facebook or Twitter, having these online actions against something. And it works. We have a couple of positive actions, online actions against something. And then the only thing that we have now is internet, and we can use this web to reach out to the people and to say them what you want to say. It's not controlled yet, and I think this is a good opportunity for us to use these online radios.
You just smiled when you said, we're not controlled yet. That makes me feel that maybe deep inside you're worried that it's not too long off before the government exercises some form of control on you.
To be honest, I'm not sure. Maybe it's controlled. And I'm not sure, but there is a lot of, we have a lot of examples of controlling something that, I mean, I can say Facebook, Skype, we had these items added to the cases of the people who were in prison. But still, it is something that you can use to reach out to people. And for me, if you are an activist, you don't have to be afraid what you do, because you're trying to do something for the people that you want to be with the same values where you want to live with them, and to build up the community, the society where you want to live in peace and freedom.
Finally, as far as the project is concerned, your project is concerned, dream a dream. What is your dream for your project?
For my project, the first thing is to be very successful. Not that I have like 1,000 listeners. I would like to have 10 listeners who are talking to their family, to their friends, to their small communities about the radio and what's going on and what they learned from this radio. I mean, new thing, new stuff that is going live on the radio. It would be very successful because all we know that how it works, you know, something new and you're trying to talk to other people that I know this and this is interesting. So that would be very successful for me if even not listeners could know what's going on the radio.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Bailey, and this episode is coming from Tbilisi. And we're talking online broadcasting. I'm now going to catch up with Tengo. Tengo has a specific and a very, very unique radio project here, actually in Georgia, not back in Azerbaijan, and he's broadcasting to the ethnic Azerbaijani community in Georgia, and they are pretty unique.
Yes, they are very special because they're ethnic minorities living in Georgia, and first they're the double minority kind of because they don't speak Georgian also. So it's quite of making a mess for them because first they don't really get really integrated to the society, and second they find themselves different in this country.
How many of these people are there in Georgia? I mean, it must be exceedingly difficult to live in a country where you have very little knowledge of the language, and the survivability, the everyday life must be pretty weird to say the least.
Well, the last statistics show that there live almost three, 100,000 ethnic Azerbaijanis in Georgia. I'm not already talking about other minorities. For these two, there are two big minority groups in Georgia, which are Armenians and Azerbaijanis. If we will compare their problems and their concerns living in Georgia, they might be the same.
What has made you decide to get into the digital space to help your projects?
Digital space is very interesting, a new technology which will allow us to give the voice to the people which had a problems before of receiving and transferring their information to other people. For example, ethnic minorities. There are not enough media resources in Georgia which would allow them to communicate with the rest of the population and society. And they are most often out of the agenda of these big Georgian media representatives. And they are not popular to be shown, and their problems and their concerns are always in the shadow.
So you're telling me, in a roundabout way, there's 300,000 people in this country that don't even have their own radio station or their TV station to talk about their problems, their issues within Georgia.
There might be some radio and local TV channels, but the problem is that the coverage of their the coverage area of those radios and TV channels is limited to their own local communities, so that the rest of the country and therefore the rest of the world does not know anything about it.
What's the sort of response been to this? I think this is quite a brave initiative that you've launched.
Well, first of all, we've tried to when we were initially thinking about doing this, and we had a task of thinking about the title of the radio. We've thought about some different titles or for the names for the radio, and then we've decided to choose something very popular, very stereotypical, very famous for this group of people with whom we were going to work. And our name, radio name, Harem Egal, is also a very, very much used word in our culture, Azerbaijani culture. Doesn't matter in Georgia or Azerbaijan. It's from the song, which is also kind of a very popular song. And we've thought that, for example, if somebody will try to search us in the web, so we will appear right after the song, at least, you know. So someone will, you know, click to our radio, and they will listen to the things that we are talking to them, and the feedback of our listeners. I would happily say that they are really, really happy that there is a radio that will allowing them to come up with their own ideas, because we allow a lot of people to do their own projects in our radio. For those young people that have no chance to go with their own ideas, with their creative ideas to other media outlets, and just to ask them to let them do their own projects, we are giving them the free space in our radio. And we are open to their any proposals, and we have a lot of ideas of our own. And in the future we are also going to do we are hoping to become a kind of youth alternative media outlet, which will not only focus on radio, but also will have short filmings and videos related to the problems and related to the all other things that, for example, young people doing something interesting in Georgia, but they're not known because nobody is interested with them. We will keep in touch with these people, we'll bring them up to the date, and show the world who they are.
We were talking about how you're going to structure the programming, and in a way, I thought you had a bit of a challenge with how you're going to create the content for your audience.
Well, as I said before, maybe before when we were having a conversation, the audience of RMAGAL is interested in something new, but they are most often where they're because of their very close community, representatives of close community, and they are like newly coming out of their communities and starting new life. And on this new age for them, we are going, I mean, the team of RMAGAL is working with them just to change their view. And the change there, I don't want to be rude, but their taste even, for example, in music, in movies, in literature, because most of them are not familiar with the Western culture. Most of them are not familiar with the Western movies. They're focused on the those TV and media outlets that they receive from their satellites. Which is generally broadcasting something Turkish or Azerbaijani, which has nothing either with Georgian or something related to Western culture or Western media. So in our radio, we are streaming the Western popular rock and all those underground music that is probably will be useful for them and will serve as a next step in their development. Plus all those TV radio programs that we are having right now, they are also very interesting for them, and because of their we are talking about the comments and sharings and all their feedback during the face-to-face meeting with our audience, because for example it's a pre-election period in Georgia and we have a project radio project called Ethnic Minorities and Elections in Georgia. So this particular a radio program has been listening. It's been listened. I would say and downloaded also from a lot of young people living in Georgia, ethnic Azerbaijani young people in from Georgia. And the idea of this, the goal of this program is that to inform these young people about the elections, to inform them about the processes during the elections, the candidates, their programs, how to vote, even and other peculiarities of election and concerning to ethnic minorities.
I mentioned to Vahid and prior to that to Zamira, that everybody has dreams. And as far as your project is concerned, dream a dream for a second. What is the dream that you have for your project?
Well, I have, my dreams are frameless because as far as I think, as more my dreams are getting bigger. If I would have a second, I would dream that my radio would be a space where young people all across the Georgia at least find themselves comfortable with their headphones on their ears and they don't want to do anything else laying down and listening to me unless they show, at least the show will be over.
Well, that's it from this Tbilisi edition of An Englishman in the Balkans with me, David Bailey. Thanks for letting me join you. We'll be back in the not too distant future with another podcast. Most probably I'll be back in the Balkans when I do that. If you do like the podcast, please subscribe either on SoundCloud or on iTunes, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast, where we hope you have discovered something new about Bosnia and Herzegovina.
If you've enjoyed the show, be sure to hit subscribe and share it with others who might enjoy a journey through the Balkans.
Want to help us keep the stories coming? You can support the podcast by visiting Buy Me a Coffee.
Your support helps us share even more about life, culture, and the hidden gems of this incredible region.
You will find the link in the show notes along with extra content on our Substack, including behind the scenes insights and updates.
And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts, questions, or ideas for future episodes.
Until next time, živjeli!